This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Fearscape Media Network, exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time.
Hello, dear friends. I'm your head mister, Lord Stefan Gearhart.
And I am your co-mister, the man with no name, Lance Wayne.
And together we are the Misters of the... Let's try it again. The Misters of the Dark! Don't shut up! Ugh, whatever. Join us wherever you stream your favorite podcasts, or go to mistersofthedark.com, where we'll be discussing all things horror, from films and books to everything in betweensies. We also have the occasional victim. I mean, guest.
Only on the Fearscape Media Network.
Shut up, Lance! Oh, I always get the last laugh.
Hey, everybody, it's Josh Rutledge, your co-host for Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support us more, please head over to our website, fearscapepodcast.com. There you can click on store and browse some really awesome t-shirts and maybe pick a couple up, or even go to our Patreon page and see how you can support us monthly. We love bringing you awesome content just as much as you like listening to it. Enjoy the show.
The following program is presented for entertainment purposes. WCHQ does not necessarily endorse the ideas presented.
Fearscape is a program that explores the legends and lore around many creepy and scary things. Information is researched and presented in an entertainment fashion and is presented based off of what we found. Legends have a way of changing over time, so...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another spooky edition of Fearscape here on 100.9 FM WCHQ and also on the Destination Nation Network. Whether you're tuning in here or you're tuning in to the podcast version at destinationcomics.com/DNN, we're glad you're here. Most of you guys know that there has been a little bit of a shakeup over the past few weeks. Brad has decided to take a walkabout, a sabbatical. A pretty permanent sabbatical from Fearscape to kind of take care of some things in his life and whatnot, but we wish him very, very well. I thought about doing a eulogy since this is Fearscape, but I'm like, nah, he's still out there kicking, he's still living. So make sure to follow him, as always, on his Instagram and Twitter. But we are introducing, and by we, I guess it's just me, but I am introducing our brand new co-host for Fearscape and Fearscape FM today, a good buddy of mine. His name is Josh Rutledge. So let's go ahead and give him a good welcome. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Hey, Stefan, I'm doing great. Glad to be here. Glad to be a part of this. Whatever this becomes, I'm just really looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever the hell it is, it's going to be all right. So we are super pumped, and we're actually going to spend this entire episode getting to know you. All right. But we have a few things that we've got to take care of as usual. And in fact, you've even got some stuff already. Man, I like this guy's initiative, right? But yeah, Josh is going to be taking over as co-host for the foreseeable future, bringing in all kinds of nerdy and just great paranormal stuff. But before we get to that, let's jump right into a little bit of spooky news.
Spooky news.
All right, so looks like both of us got a little bit of a spooky news. So I'm going to hit you with mine first. Found a really cool story that just fascinates me because it kind of involves two of my favorite things, ghosts and movies. This one comes from the Daily Star in the United Kingdom. And the headline reads, "Secret door in haunted cinema is opened to reveal Satanist lair." Dun, dun, dun. You got to love those Satanists. So let's see here. The owners of a former cinema that has been converted into a spooky museum have made a spine-chilling discovery. Now, already, I question this, right? So they've already turned in this cinema into a spooky museum, and they just so happen to find a satanic lair.
Yeah. Seems a little fishy.
Little fishy. So the haunted museum owners, Maria and Steve Wesson, discovered a metal door concealed under a layer of plasterboard after they bought the old Mapperly Picture House in Nottingham, England. For almost a year, they left the door sealed, fearful of what they might find inside. But then they plucked open that door and they saw what was behind it. Marie says they found a pentagram symbol marked out on the floor in charcoal, a number of burned out candles, and weirdest of all, a child's teddy bear. No. Yeah, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, said Marie. We're paranormal investigators, not Satanists, so we were already going to have to get in on it to find out as much as we can. Let's see here. She says that the museum team had been sent supernatural warnings not to open the door. She said, "During investigations, we've had voice recordings of someone saying, 'Don't open the door,' and 'Don't open the door,' with a sinister laugh after. Ha, 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 ha." Marie says that the warnings put her off cracking open the secret chamber for quite a while. And now that it has been unsealed, it has been causing a few problems. So, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I find it very interesting. I'm Wiccan, and so a pentagram is not what the picture shows. A pentacle is what is shown. A pentagram is simply just a five-pointed star, a lot of times attributed upside down to represent the Church of Satan. Yeah, the Church of Satan, which in and itself is not pagan. And it's actually really kind of a cool religion. But this shows a pentacle, which is a very Wiccan piece. Just because there's candles there doesn't mean it's satanic.
The lights could have gone out.
Yeah, the lights could have gone out. You're scared, so you're hanging with your teddy.
I mean, you know. You know, why do you buy a place and don't investigate all? You know, don't open the door and see what's behind it.
Well, like she said, she was scared. She kept getting voice recordings that were like, "Don't open it."
Yeah, maybe somebody was testing their voice box. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. Well, that's what I got for spooky news. Cool. Like I said, that comes from England. So what do you got for us?
All right. So DARPA, for those of you not familiar with what DARPA is, it's basically the subject of many, many, many different conspiracy theories. And it is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Pops up on a lot of different stories and things. But they would like everybody to surrender their subterranean passageways for experiments.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So they, like our tunnels and stuff?
Yeah.
That's secret.
Most people probably don't even realize that there are a lot of tunnels underneath downtown Louisville.
Yes.
And you can do actually tours and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That connects like the Seelbach and the Brown and all stuff from Prohibition.
Yeah, so DARPA wants to use to test their new systems and sensors so that it's even more secretive.
I wonder if that counts like Mammoth Cave and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it says urban circuit.
Oh, so the urban circuit. So we're looking at that, including like Mega Cavern here in Louisville. Some things like that.
Yeah, probably in, you know, like I said, any of those tunnels underneath cities and things. But, yeah, so basically they've got a new set of sensors that they want to test, and they have to be somewhat underground in order to test, I guess, people walking around on the streets. I don't know what they're testing, but...
I know what they're going to be testing. They're going to be testing ghosts rolling through there, man, or the slave trade that's still secretly happening, or aliens.
Or you never know when there's a river of slime that somebody can fall into.
Damn right. Could be a river. Ray's going to get down there and get dunked in it. But, yeah, man, you never know. I'd love to get all that stuff set up underneath, like, the catacombs in, like, Paris and stuff like that.
It would just be cool to set up... a mic, like a couple of mics, and just leave it undisturbed for like a week, and then go back and listen to see what you pick up.
Boy, you'd have to listen to, I don't do math, so 24 times 7 hours of footage.
Maybe there's a team of people.
That's when you hire a team of people.
Yeah, we need some interns.
Yes, quick. Kathy, if you're listening, if you could get us some interns, that would be great. But yeah, so yeah, pretty cool. With the possibility of being super spooky and like, is there a nefarious motive behind that?
I mean, it's DARPA, right? I mean, yeah. So many, you know, where's my tinfoil hat? When
yeah, exactly.
It, you
know? Exactly. But yeah, so that's this week's spooky news. So we're going to go on and get into now. The show is going to be talking about your personal stories. OK, yep. Your experiences with paranormal, aliens, Bigfoot, Matt Bevin, whatever, all the scary things. And but spooky news is meant for the recent. Something that's happened recently. So we're going to get into not spooky news. Boy, I say that every single time. Creepy catch up. We're going to get into creepy catch up. And talk about something that's happened within the last week or two, since we've seen each other. And since this is your first episode, I'm sure you've had something happen recently. I know I did. So we're going to get into that. So let's get into a little creepy catch-up.
Creepy catch-up. Creepy catch-up. Creepy catch-up. Creepy catch-up. Y'all, it's creepy.
All right. So, oh yeah, I love our theme song. Suck it, Brad. So first of all, speaking of Brad, him and I went to Cincinnati a few weeks ago. We lightly touched on it in the last episode. But we went to Cincinnati, and while we were there, we went to Bobby Mackey's Music World, which we've covered both on the podcast and the radio show and have talked about a bazillion times. Well, we finally got a chance to go. We didn't do a ghost hunt or anything like that. We just went, had a few beers. Bobby Mackey was actually playing. It was great. I mean, I was coughing blood for the next 2 days because of all the smoke, but it was so much fun. But while there, stuff was happening. So I'm sitting there. We're sitting at a table. We're sitting at the back, and we're watching the show. And I keep feeling someone put their hand on my leg. Well, the three tables, like, around me to the left are empty. There's no one there. Brad's, like, two seats over because we're doing the man rule. And so he's not sitting next to me. So it's not him, and it's my left leg. And it keeps happening. And I'm laughing because I'm like, I know what it is. And I definitely, and maybe I was anticipating doing this, but I definitely smelled the rose perfume, which is what Joanna's supposed to wear. And you're supposed to smell it. And Brad didn't smell it, I don't think, but I did. And then there was a point, we have the same tool app that we used at Whispers Estate. We both had them out sitting on the table, supposed to pick up, you know, words and different things like that. And so first I look up and I'm like, are you here? It's okay. I mean, give me a sign if you're here. And then on my phone, I look down, the word entertainment is right there. Right as soon as I look up, and there's a big long sign on the wall that says, welcome to Bobby Mackey's, enjoy your entertainment, right? And so that was pretty cool. And then I was like, all right, were you one of the people that have just wandered in, or were you murdered? And the next word that came up said murder. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then the next three words were just nonsense. I didn't get them. But, you know, those things right there were enough to make me feel pretty awesome about it.
So you ever think that's like the movie, you know, the movie Signs, where the pastor's wife gets pinned against a tree and she says those random things that don't mean anything at the time, but then later mean things?
Oh, for sure.
So like the words that popped up that at the time didn't mean anything. You never know.
Yeah, no, and you know, and that's something I'm sure if I went back through all the recordings that we had for Whispers Estate, if I had recorded every word we saw too, I bet you they would have correlated at some point. I absolutely believe in the time flux, that things don't happen in the time that we think. And in fact, some of the stuff that we hear could have happened years and years and who knows, some ghost hunter could have asked and like, 10 right. years from now, we're hearing, you know, right. get me ice cream. You know, yeah. You're like, what?
So, yeah, that's cool. That's
yeah, really so cool. For the most part, that's been it. I've been pretty busy. I haven't really had any night hags, thank the gods. But things have been pretty slow besides that. Now I will say this. I was at the Bardstown Theater, which You won't be able to attend, but Naoma from Country Roots and a couple other people, I think Brad might even be coming. We're going to ghost hunt there. But I was there this weekend. It's super haunted. And I saw doors opening and just all sorts of standard stuff that I always see when I'm there just out of the corner of your eye.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. So what about you? Anything happened to you the last few weeks?
Yeah. So and we'll get into a little bit more of this later, but I recently, I guess, kind of returned on my paranormal antenna. I turned it off for a while.
Oh yeah, and we've all been there.
and so I get to feeling like something is in the woods behind my house, and so I'm out there. Mm-mm. I'm out there yesterday. I've really gotten into some amateur photography lately, so I'm out there taking pictures and stuff, and I feel like something's looking at me, you know. So, like, I just walk over to the woods area where I feel like there's something there. And
already braver than me. All right, I would jump onto the porch and zoom in on my camera all the way. That's what I would do.
So I walk over there, and I'm like, hey, you know, we're not going to hurt you. You know, you're safe here. And I swear something rustled in the leaves, and, like, a bird flew away. So it was something enough that it startled a bird.
Bird, yeah.
But I couldn't see anything. I took a couple of pictures of the area. Went back and looked at the pictures, can't find anything, but yeah, I feel like there's something in there. And I mean, we get deer and everything, you know.
It's a different vibe.
Deer will spook and they'll run. You know, mm-hmm. this is a different kind of vibe.
Same thing, raccoons, any of those things, they either get spooked or you can just, it's just a different vibe. It's just a different vibe. Now, granted, I mean, occasionally we'll get wildcats and, you know, even the occasional mountain lion.
Yeah.
But those are so few and far between.
Well, and
there's more Bigfoot sightings than there are mountain lion sightings.
Right. Well, and like the bird that I was talking about, like it was kind of chirping and bouncing around on the tree branches. And then when I said something and whatever rustled, then the bird flew away. So it's like it was comfortable with whatever was there.
Yeah.
Until, you know, I said something.
I don't know. I mean, you know, Kentucky is home to many a cryptid sighting. You know, it's one of the biggest states for Bigfoot sightings as well. So who knows?
Yep.
Who knows, man? Anything else?
No.
Awesome. Are you going to talk? You talked to me recently about your dream. Is that going to get brought up?
It is.
Okay, good. Yep. Then I won't hit it for creepy ketchup because it's awesome.
No, that's more than I think a creepy ketchup.
Oh, all right, good. All right. Well, then, ladies and gentlemen, that was creepy ketchup.
Creepy ketchup. Creepy ketchup. Y'all, it's creepy.
All right, we're here. This is your moment of truth, Josh. The pressure is on your shoulders. No, in fact, it's not. You're not even really hosting today. Today, you're my guest. And, you know, we want our viewers and our blanket huggers out there to know who you are. What can they expect from you, you know? So before we even get into the spooky stuff, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm 41 years old. I'm married. I like long walks on the beach.
Pretty much most people do.
Dinners, you know,
most people
that kind
do.
Of stuff. Yeah. No, I would describe myself as a believer, but a skeptic. So I'm not just going to jump at the first sign of something. You know, I'm going to dig into it. I'm going to try to understand it. If I can't understand it, then I'm going to accept it as paranormal. But started out in church as a young.
In fact, that's where we met. Kid. We're coming on 25 years next year.
Wow, man, that's crazy.
25 years, just to give you a heads up.
It only feels like 40.
25 years of knowing this schmuck. And, we've been through many religion changes together.
Yeah. No, I'm in a really good place now. And I think, you know, Stefan introduced me to pretty much what I think I am, and that's a humanist. So that's
That's pretty I love cool. humanism. Yeah. It's awesome. But you and I also share a massive love for Star Trek and Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And pretty much all things sci-fi.
Pretty much everything sci-fi. I don't know what the genre is, but like the Lord of the Rings type stuff,
fantasy.
Mm-hmm. So I would say I'm probably like 52-48 Star Trek over Star Wars.
Yeah,
yeah.
It depends on the day of the week for me. Literally, it's true. There, sometimes I go through a huge Star Wars phase where I'm like, yeah, and I never bash Trek because I'm always a Trekkie. But then there are times where I'm like, I can't get enough of Star Trek. And so that I'm like you, but my scale shifts.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I guess I would say that I like them for different reasons.
Yes, exactly. You know? I hate that they're compared.
Yeah.
The only thing that's similar is that they're in outer space.
Right.
That's it.
I mean, but so is a lot of other things.
Oh, and they share the word star.
Right, right, right. So, you know, Stargate must be similar too,
nope.
Right?
Nope. I didn't get into Stargate.
I love Stargate.
You know, it's just one of those that I just never watched it. And then by the time, like, my roommate Paul was watching it, it was already, like, 7 seasons in or something. Yeah. And I was like, I got other stuff I'm watching. And it wasn't as easy to watch back then. And now I've got a million things I've got to watch.
Yeah.
And it was so different from the movie for me that I was like, ah, he's MacGyver.
Yeah, it was. They tried to tie the movie and the show together in the first couple of episodes, but yeah, you just kind of have to accept that it's different.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Had I actually just sat down and watched it, I think I would have. But it was one of those I never got to watch. And I'm a stickler. If I don't see it from the beginning, I get really, really ticked off, and I get frustrated. Yeah. So, and I didn't watch it from the beginning.
But yeah, so I'm probably more, you know, Spock is my idol kind of guy. You know, I'm very logical. But I'm don't think I'm a dull guy, because I don't think I'm
no, not at all. Spock was bad, dude. He was awesome, especially in Discovery, dude.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, man. Like, he's, you know, Rocker Spock was awesome.
Yeah, I love Rocker Spock. Yeah, I guess I'm definitely a Luke guy. I mean, I was blonde hair, blue eye. That was me. I wanted to be Luke, and that was everything to me. But no, I will say this. I've always been both, but as I've gotten older, I respect and appreciate Star Trek so much more. Star Wars has not changed for me. It is still just woohoo!
Yeah.
But Star Trek has just completely changed, especially after sitting. I recently, over the last 2 years, went back and watched all of Next Generation. Well, actually, from original series up, and I'm on the last season of Enterprise. Like, I watched all the way through, and that gave me a brand new appreciation binging all of those.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how fleshed out that universe is.
Oh yeah.
And I've read, good God, I've probably read 100 Star Wars books. Your brother Jed is actually the one that got me into them. I read so many of those, and I've only just recently started reading the Star Trek books. I just started reading this one. I don't remember what the name of it is, but it takes place like 4 years after Nemesis.
Uh-huh.
And it's a trilogy, but it's all about trying to find B4. He gets abducted. I'm like 3 chapters in, and I'm just fascinated.
Yeah, there's a really good couple of books that dive into Picard's life before Enterprise.
Ooh.
And those would be really good to read / listen to, because I don't really do a lot of reading, but I do audio books.
So did Brad.
But
it's part of the co-host requirement.
Yeah, you know, I think it was on the interview questions.
Yeah.
but they really dive into Picard's life before Enterprise, and I don't know how much of that will come up in the new Picard show.
Yeah,
but
who knows? You know, from Star Wars has shown us anything, is don't trust that the movies or TV shows are going to touch anything you love.
True.
But Star Trek is a little different.
I mean, I think Star Trek really tries to stay true, with the exception of Kelvin timeline.
Yeah.
They really try to stay true.
But even then, with the Kelvin timeline, it stayed true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole point of the Kelvin timeline.
Right. Is that it still brought these people together.
Yeah. And that whole thing is still canon. That idea that, you know, Spock went back and all that stuff happened. I mean, it's still canon.
Yep.
So it's very interesting the way they were able to make that happen.
But I don't want to turn this into a Trek podcast.
Oh yeah, no, we got to. Sorry, this is a different. This is paranormal. Sorry, I thought we were hanging out. anyways, I'm sorry. I got off topic really easy. Thanks. See, he's good at roping me back in. So let's get talking about you. So we've talked a little bit about you're married. You got some children and all kinds of stuff like that. Cool. Basic crap's out of the way.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm
man.
A person.
You are a person. All right, so you know, let's talk about some of your experiences, man.
So let me go back to, I'm going to go back in time.
Going back in time.
Yeah, that's my song in the morning. Anyways, the earliest, I guess, experiences that I can think of were always at my grandparents' house in Shelbyville.
Right. Now, I want to touch on this real quick, that we've actually had a story you sent in on our early episodes of both Fearscape FM and Fearscape Podcast. For those of you that have listened since the beginning, his story was the one that took place at his grandmother's house had the little boy in it and stuff like that. So, but yeah, so you were already a listener, so, and it was really cool to have your story.
Yeah, so that was, that experience was a little later on in life. Like, I was out of high school and things. But even going back to when I was a kid, so I need to kind of set the stage a little bit. So my grandparents' house was built in 1825. There was one side of the house. Was for it had a doctor's office on the main floor and a schoolhouse on the second floor.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Then the other side of the house was the living quarters, so it had bedroom,
dining room. Almost reminds me of our friend Nathan's old house, like how his dad was a chiropractor and had an
office and stuff in the end.
That's really interesting.
The difference is that as a chiropractor, I doubt he had very many people die in his office.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So if he did, I'm glad they moved.
Right.
In fact, we don't know where they are. They might be in witness protection. I'm not sure.
But you know, so imagine as a doctor's office, I'm sure there was a lot of deaths that occurred.
Oh, especially back then.
Oh yeah, and then you know, and this is kind of a touchy subject, but we've found pottery and things. We know that there were some slave quarters on the property at some point in time. So
when did you say it was built?
1825.
There you go. Then absolutely there were.
So all of that kind of turmoil and death and things that were happening there. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of things that would happen in the house. The earliest that I can remember was there was a light in the what would have been the doctor's office. It was the living room for my grandparents at the time, but we would just go to bed, and the light would turn on. And my brother and I used to sleep on the floor, on mats in the floor, like feet from where that light is. And so, as you can imagine, we were a little scared at times when. You go to bed and the light wasn't on. You wake up and the light is on.
Now, as kids, how did you guys justify that? I mean, or were you like, it's a ghost?
No, I mean, I don't think we were, like, scared. Like, I never really got the feeling like we were, it was malintent. I mean, it was just turning the light on. And there was an organ in that room, like a electric organ. And it would sometimes come on. It never played or anything.
Right, but
like,
you'd hear that.
Yeah, you would hear it kind of warm up and walk in there and the lights were on and stuff. And, you know, it's not like it sat down and played a big long piece for us and we applauded afterward. But, you know.
Especially like an organ, that's not easy to turn on.
No.
That's a heavy flicked switch.
Right, exactly. So there was that kind of stuff. Used to hear walking up and down the stairs. You know, you hear footprints and footsteps and things. But so that was kind of the early on. So I would say I was probably, you know, 5 or 6 years old.
So it's already interesting to me because I've been out to that house many a time. And it already is like out in the middle of nowhere. And I can't imagine how far in the middle of nowhere it was in 1825 to be a doctor's office as well.
So
like, people had to come.
So interesting thing I found out about that house and that whole area is like back in the early 1900s, Kentucky was in a heavy drought. And the only place that it rained was over that house. And so the area came to be known as Little Egypt because apparently in all the desert, Egypt is
Egypt
the only place.
Because where the Delta is.
Right.
Yeah.
So, it was just interesting that.
Wow.
Yeah. So, the, you know, even as a young kid, I've kind of had a sensitivity, I guess, to that kind of stuff. I've never, you know, I've listened to some of your other podcasts and some of your other guests, and I've never had quite the many experiences that they have, but I've just kind of had a sensitivity to feeling things, you know, picking up on energies and things. And so I just always, nothing in that house ever felt like it was malicious.
Yeah.
It was just. It was more, I guess, residual.
Residual, so a lot of repeats.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, just, hey, I'm here.
Yeah.
Type, right?
So, I mean, even the story that I shared where the little boy and stuff, I mean, even that just felt like, hey, I'm here, you know.
Yeah.
Can you read the story for me?
So, yeah.
you know, but.
Which is pretty lucky for a house that old and where people obviously died.
Right. I mean, now maybe there was other things there, and they just never presented themselves to me, you know. But so then, you know, fast forward, like, I don't know, 5 years, let's say. I'm not really 100% sure on a timeline, but let's say 5 years. a neighbor that lived down the street, she had recently gone into the hospital, and we went to visit her in the hospital because she was always really kind to my brother and I. And when we came back to my grandparents' house, the rocking chair in the dining room was rocking. And so it's just like we just walked in, and the rocking chair was rocking. Now her husband had passed a few years prior, and so we just maybe figured that he was saying thank you for going to visit my wife or something.
Yeah,
but it was just really interesting. And it's one of those things where, like, you see it out of the corner of your eye, and you're not really sure that what you saw is what you saw. So, I mean, like, I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and I turned and looked, and I could actually see it rocking. And, you know, there's no breeze coming through the house. You know, the windows aren't open. I mean, there's nothing that could really cause the rocking chair to rock other than, you know.
And now I know a giant, if a majority of your family is very, very Christian in their beliefs. But even Christians can kind of take hold of some of this before. Your other family members have experiences in the house as well that they've shared?
Yeah, my grandmother has had quite a few experiences. I can't recall any one particular experience that that I could necessarily share right here, but I can share something that was very that happened to a living relative that was very interesting. So my I guess my great great uncle, he and his family were on the pioneers, so they went out to explore the West,
right?
And they were all killed. They died of whatever the virus was at the time.
Call it dysentery.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've died of dysentery.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
So he gets put back on a train to come back home with all of his dead family members in caskets. And so later on in life, you know, he's aged. He's living.
Oh,
with
so him. Everybody died but him.
But him.
Oh, I missed that part.
He's living at my grandparents' house, sleeping in a bed in the dining room. And my mother was real little at the time, and she said they got up one night, and he was gone. And so they went out and they found him in the field. He had made a big bonfire and painted himself to look like a Native American, and was chanting around this bonfire.
Oh, man, yeah. So he must have been old too.
Yeah. Whew, yeah, man. He was really old. So you know, I don't know if like he was channeling that from the time that he spent in the West or what, but it was really, and again, my mother was real young, so it was an experience that I had, but still,
right, yeah,
this is really
great
cool
story. How long has your family owned that home?
I think they bought that farm.
So your grandparents are the one that bought it.
Yeah, so my grandparents bought that farm, I want to say like 50 or 60 years ago. So they haven't, it wasn't their first farm they owned.
Right.
The first farm they owned, the house was struck by lightning and burned down. So then they moved and bought this farm. But there have been people living, I mean, I don't think that house has ever sat vacant.
Yeah.
Until now.
Yeah.
But
you know, it makes you wonder, like, if the great 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 whatever uncle was like senile at that point or anything like that, and was indeed taken over by a spirit. I mean, Kentucky was a huge Native.
Oh yeah,
man, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, who knows? Not even necessarily from out west, could be here.
Right.
Oh, that's crazy. That's a good one, man.
So, and I don't know. You know, my I'm sure that my brother, you know, he's probably had experiences, but he's never really talked about it. But I mean, I'm sure there's other people who have had experiences in that house, but again, never really felt comfortable enough to
exactly
share,
yeah. So I hate that there's a taboo on it, but you know, that's okay. Some people are open, some people aren't, and that's completely okay.
Yep.
You know, and if you've listened to our show, you know I'm a big believer in that. If something happens to you once, you'll always be open to it. Always. Rarely do I ever find, in fact, never have I ever found a person that has only had one experience.
Yeah.
It's either none or a bunch.
Right. So. Well, and like I said, I mean, I got to a point where I was having some really just weird things were happening. Pretty much around the time that my kids were born, I kind of turned off my paranormal antenna.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, I mean, you know, and it's tough, especially when you have a family or a set of friends that don't buy into it either. You're either A, too afraid to say something because you're afraid of being seen as crazy, or you are indeed seen as crazy.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's tough to not have that support and to feel just nutso. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
I have been lucky enough to have people like my grandmother and stuff like that who were always very open to it. And so I always had someone to talk to. So I was lucky in that regards.
Yeah. I mean, it's even now, I don't really, I mean, I talk to my wife about it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes she looks at me a little.
No, my wife's there. She does the same thing. Sometimes she's like, whoa. And other times she's like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just going through a phase.
You know? It's like what fits her. It's what fits their own narrative. Right. I mean, that's what's beautiful about paranormal experiences is that everybody's narrative is different.
Right.
And it's when you're willing to be open to other people's narrative are the people that I really love to have on this show.
Yep.
You know, like just, you know, whether or not I've seen it or not, I've never seen a Bigfoot, but I am very open to hearing your stories because I'd like to.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a Bigfoot.
Yep. But. I mean, I have big feet and not even really. Not even really. I take it back. For my, I'm 6'5".
For your
five.
Frame.
Yeah.
You have average feet.
I do.
Frame.
I do. Most people 6'5", and I have like 14 to 16 foot. I have 12. Yeah. I'm a 12.
And I don't want it to sound like that I like have some kind of foot fetish and I know what size shoe you wear, but just based on looking at your feet, you probably have the feet appropriate for your frame.
No, I don't. I do not. I have abnormal feet. My old costume professor in college used to tell me that I was built incorrectly. He told me because I'm double jointed in my knees, my elbows, and my thumbs, and that my feet were too small. And so he'd always say, Mr. Gearhart, you were built incorrectly. Or sometimes he would say backwards. Because he said, your feet should be at least 2 inches bigger. But I think that that's why I'm so clumsy, too. I think that I don't have the correct balance. But my dad, who's the same way, he wears the same size shoes I do. And he's always had issues falling. But my brother, my older brother, he's got bigger feet, so...
Well, I mean, you have an appropriately sized head, so...
Yes, I do. It is. Unlike something. Yours. So what else you got on the table for us? Because I know you've got more than just your grandparents' house.
Oh, yeah. So, let's see. I think you were with me one time we saw the ghost headlights in Shelbyville.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. We were heading to your Uncle Rusty's house.
From Taco Bell.
We went to Taco Bell.
We had a late night border run.
Yeah. That was creepy, man.
Yeah, it was like just driving along. There's these headlights behind us, and then all of a sudden they're gone.
And there was nowhere to turn off.
Nowhere to turn
off.
It's
farm. Yeah, like, there's not even like a secret entrance
and
into the farm.
And then, you know,
but even then, we would have seen them turn. You would have seen the lights going forward.
Going forward up the hill or taillights in the behind you. So that was always cool. And I remember, you know, looking back in my memory here, the headlights were even kind of those round headlights from like an older vehicle, you know, so which is not uncommon. People still drive older vehicles today.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, of course, my memory isn't as great as yours. You know, you can share people with that because to me, I just remember lights, you know, because I don't remember my own middle name sometimes.
Which one?
Yeah, exactly. See, exactly. I forgot till just right now. But yeah, you know, you definitely have what the heck is that called?
You know, I can't remember. No, no, it's called an eidetic memory.
Yeah, and I wanted to say didactic. But that's not it.
Some people refer to it as a photographic memory.
Yeah, I worked dinner detective, and a lot of times the detectives joke and they call, "I've got a photogenic memory."
Yeah.
But no, it comes in handy.
Oh, it comes in handy. It's both a blessing and a curse, because every stupid mistake or wrongdoing that I've ever done.
Not only that, any spooky experience you've had still sits fresh.
Well, yeah, and that's not necessarily a bad thing for me because I haven't had really any negative spooky experiences.
You people and you're not having negatives. Listen, people, I know you're out there. Not all of us have positive ghost experiences all the time, okay?
You mean you don't all sit around in a circle and sing Kumbaya?
No. Some of us get held down and smacked and all kinds of crazy stuff, okay? But I definitely envy you folks that have good experiences, for sure. And I've had plenty of good ones as well, but...
I mean, I don't necessarily want to invite a bad experience on myself, but I also wouldn't mind having one so that I know what a bad experience was like.
Mm-mm. No?
That's like saying you want an abusive wife before you have a regular wife so that you know what it's like to have an abusive wife. Okay? Oh,
okay.
You don't want it.
So, spirits of the realm, please ignore what I've said.
Ignore what Josh just said. Just go get Brad. He can have him. He wants him. He's one of those that, like, invites. He's very Zach Baggins ghost. Like adventures. Come on, you stupid ghost!
I'm more of a calm collective. You want to talk with me? Let's talk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the psychic aspects of things makes it difficult to antagonize because you feel things harder.
Yeah.
You feel things stronger. You know, like, I don't want to invite that because a lot of times I pick up their emotions when they are angry, which is maybe why they're able to attack me sometimes and things like that, because I can take it and I can become that victim.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of like a sponge.
Yes. You soak psychic it up. Sponge. Yep.
Yep.
But what SpongeBob else? Give me some more spooky ooky.
Yeah.
What do you got?
So, let's see. I don't know. I guess I could get into the dream.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to kind of dig into alien type stuff anyways, UFOs, along those lines.
So I am a firm believer in aliens. I don't know what they are. You know, I don't know if it's from another planet or if it's future humans coming back. I have no ideas. I mean, I have plenty concepts. But
yeah, multidimensional.
But we're not here to talk about concepts, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, so I have had a lot of different experiences or let's say snippets that I remember of just kind of feeling like maybe I was abducted. And so a few weeks ago, I had a dream. Well, first of all, this is going to sound weird, but so I wear a CPAP to help me breathe at night.
I used to. Yeah.
I whenever I wear my CPAP, I don't remember any of my dreams. I'm sure I do dream, but I don't remember them in the morning. This particular dream, I remembered when I woke up.
Interesting.
So, in my dream, I'm like standing in a field at my grandparents' house that I just talked about, and it's like I'm younger. I'm, you know, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 or somewhere around in there, and it's like blue skies. You know, it's during the day. I remember, you know, I'm standing there, and like standing next to me is this entity, but I can't see any characteristics about the entity. I just know in my mind, in my dream, it's just a like a black figure.
Right. But you just know it's there.
But I can't, you know, when I turn and look at it, I just see blackness.
Right.
Like I don't see anything, you know, particular. But I know it's a lot taller than me. It's got its hand on my shoulder. And like I look up in the sky, and there's like a craft that's kind of hovering over top of me, probably. You know, it's really big compared to everything else. Either it's really low in the sky, or it's just really, really big.
Can't tell perspective in the dream. What shape?
Circular with rectangular places placed sporadically. Not sporadically. It's more like in an arrangement on the bottom of the craft with a couple of like yellow pulsing lights on the bottom as well. But the craft itself looks like gray or like a dark gray. And it's not, you know, it's not like your typical flying saucer type thing like you see in the movie theater. I mean, it is circular, but it's not, you know, it's not a flying saucer, so to speak.
Right.
So I'm looking around and the entity tells me, that I've been selected to be a human in an experiment to blend human and alien DNA.
This is how the movie Cocoon started, right?
Yeah, I don't want to find giant clams on the bottom of the ocean. But you know, so I've been selected to be an experiment. You're going to blend me with human and alien DNA. And that some of my life experiences might be different from other people's. And then, the entity standing next to me is gone. The craft zips away, and I wake up.
So I got a question for you. The voice, do you remember what the voice sounded like, or was it kind of voiceless, so to speak?
So it was almost like it didn't speak, but I heard it.
Right. So like, so definitely more telepathic.
Okay. Yeah. And based on my height and my age at the time, the entity seemed like really tall, like Bigfoot tall, like 7 foot, 8 foot tall.
Slender man, dude.
Oh, don't even. So I wake up, what's really interesting about that dream is that I've had some other experiences recently that have just been odd. So, I don't know, probably starting maybe about 15 years ago, which for those of you that if I didn't say, I'm 41, so that's still several years after when my experience in the dream would have taken place.
Right.
That started. So 15 years or so ago, and it tends to run like every like 5 years or so I have these things. So I would hear really low but intense pulsing noises.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like, there's nothing around. The first time that I experienced it was at my grandparents' house. The second time was at my the first house that my wife and I lived at in J-Town. I didn't go outside in the one at my grandparents' house, but I did go outside at the one at the house we lived at in J-Town, and it was like it surrounded the house. It was just like a whoom, 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 and it just the whole noise surrounded the house. Couldn't really hear where it was coming from. I didn't at the time. I didn't think about it. I didn't like look up to see if
even then it could have been cloaked. Who knows?
Well, that's true. Yeah. But I mean, and it just was really loud all around. There was like no other noise. There was no barking dogs. There was no crickets. No birds chirping. Nothing. Just whoom whoom whoom, and then it stopped. And then it was just silence. And then after silence, then the regular nighttime noises came back.
Oh, so all the nighttime noises were gone too. Oh, yeah. That's creepy.
And then the same thing happened at the house that we moved to in Shelbyville. This was about, I don't know, like maybe a couple months ago. And it just, again, it was just whoom, whoom, whoom. And I went and like stuck my head out the patio door. And again, it was just all over.
And you were awake for those, right?
I was awake for both of those. And in fact, the second one, the one that was most recent, my wife heard it.
Ooh, yeah. Welcome to Puddin'.
So, you know, and again, it was just like real low pulse. Couldn't hear anything else. And then it just stopped, like on a dime, it just stopped. And I'd be happy if anybody could explain to me what that could be. But
well, you know, so here's what's interesting, and Brad has talked about this a lot, that instances that are possibly alien and abduction-type scenarios, those dreams that we've had or those experiences and the things that we experience those, there tends to be a buzz. For different people, it's electric, that when you're just hearing that electric buzz, some people it's pulsing. In Taos, New Mexico, there's a pulsating hum that certain people hear, and a good multitude of people. And there are some people that believe that there's a ship inside one of the mountains. But, you know, that happens only with those experiences. They don't tend to happen with ghost experiences. They don't tend to happen with Bigfoot experiences. But they tend to happen with what people think are alien-type experiences. Mm. Is that buzzing, that pulsating, that, you know, and it makes you wonder, as loud as you heard it, it's like, was that a ship?
Yeah.
You know, and then to think back to your dream, you know, was that a real memory?
Yeah.
The, you know,
repressed. Or...
Right. I mean, you know, you've heard, since you've listened to the podcast, you heard my story about being a child all those years that I thought was a dream. Come to find out it was a memory, to find out that it was a shared memory, to find out I'm missing a day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, who knows? You know, how many people are out there that have those memories that they thought were dreams, that they were just so weird that what, our adult minds say that has to be a dream.
Well, and what's really interesting, I think, is like, so in your case, you were a child. In my mm-hmm. case, I was a child. You know, you hear these stories, like news stories, where these kids like wander off into the woods
mm-hmm.
and are missing for like 2-3 days, and they find them, and they're like in perfect health.
Yep.
There's like not a scratch on them, and they, you know, I think there's a story that was most recent that they asked, like the child was old enough. They asked it, you know, how did who took care of you, and it and the child just said, Mother Bear took care of me.
Mother Bear.
So, you know, I mean, is it possible that, you know, these abduct, you know, it, is it easier to abduct a child and repress, like even maybe through some type of a medical means, repress those memories and not have to worry about it coming back and disrupting their adult life as much?
Or, I mean, even then, is that something that these captors do? Is it something they do? Is push that repression, you know, like. So, yeah, do they? I mean, do these, maybe they're creating that on purpose as a way to block them out. Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, maybe it's something that as an adult, our brains won't be able to handle.
Yeah.
You know, they say, though, you know, that's why I find it's interesting that the ship you were able to comprehend, but the entity you were not.
Yeah.
And what if it's because sci-fi, we've seen so many different types of ships, we're okay with that. But for the most part, real, true, what they try to say, it's always the grays.
Yeah.
You know, but what if it wasn't a gray? What if it was some other sort of, and maybe your mind couldn't handle what
yeah.
it sees, especially knowing your memory, would you have been able to handle it?
Well, it's kind of like if you're looking at something and you're trying to figure out what it is, like you just see something odd, like a mm-hmm. sign or a collection of symbols, and you can't work out what it is. Once you make the connection of what it is, you can't unsee it.
You can't
see what you thought it was.
That's my point with paranormal.
Yeah.
Like once you have an experience,
right.
you will always have an experience. And you know, it's interesting, and I've brought this up before on earlier episodes, but you know, they say the Native Americans, when Columbus first showed up with their big ships, that science tells us that they more than likely didn't even see them because their eyes would not be able to handle
understand
that it almost, it's like a reaction our brain sets up is no,
yeah.
it's not there. So all they saw were essentially people walking from the water.
Yeah.
That just blows my mind. I mean, and you know, even how these tribes that are still living away from the world do. They think that these planes are these gigantic
yeah,
birds. Just
yeah.
like how the natives and ancient aliens, that whole idea.
Yeah.
I mean, Quetzalcoatl, like, what was that?
Yeah, Birdman.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. That just...
Yeah, it's not something that I've explored much further. Just, you know, the dream and then now thinking about the correlation between other events in my life and how maybe that strengthens what I saw in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, and then talking real quick about the grays, what if kind of along the same line, but what if the grays are a place, you know, they, so when I say a place, like
They form into a house.
No, it's like that cartoon in the 80s where the kid becomes a car.
Yes.
But no, but like the grays, so the entity that they abduct, they don't want to be known. So they place a false image of the grays.
Mm.
So that's why everybody sees the grays.
Right.
But really the grays are just some other entity's graphical representation of alien that they've placed in people's memories.
Well, and you know, occasionally there are some stories where they are abducted and they wake up and the grays are there, but then all of a sudden the real dude walks in and there, you know, that's where that the Viking types, the Thor-ish,
yeah.
Asgardian type look, where they're like 7 feet tall, blonde hair,
yeah.
but shaped a little differently. You know, that idea of even where their gods might have come from
yeah.
is that they are kind of like the, you know, it's kind of like, I'm going to bring up Star Trek Enterprise, but it's kind of like the Zindi, you know, where there's different species for the same planet, so to speak. Or I mean, it could be a federation of some sorts, you know, but maybe there is a class system. You know, and the grays are the ones that we see because maybe they're the ones closest to us.
They're the worker bees.
The worker bees. And they're the closest to what we look like, that maybe we can handle them better than some sort of organism that is just nothing like we could ever comprehend.
Right. The blob or something.
Sure. Who knows? I don't know. That's why I like looking into this stuff, because I don't know. Yeah. And it's so interesting. And people have so many different stories. And then there are places where it correlates. And then sometimes where it's so different, but it's still, man, they believe it.
Yeah.
They believe it 100%. And even people that are, you know, mentally unstable, are they? Well, maybe just able to tap into see things that we aren't seeing.
Yeah. Well, and you know, some of that mental instability could be from them grappling internally with what they see or what they saw and what in their own disbelief.
Yeah.
And they just,
I don't know. And of course there are people that think tripping, you know, like helps them see things too. I mean, you know, the Native Americans did with, you know, the different herbs and things that they used to see the gods and things like that. It's like, were they? Or, you know, was that a way for them to get inside to handle what they saw, that, you know, the aliens were like, hey, we need you to work. We need you to build things, but we need you to get the material from the spaceship.
Right.
Right. So take this peyote and see what happens.
Well, and, you know, it's possible, too, that, you know, underneath a medicated state, your brain is not as active, so you're not overthinking things. Mm-hmm. You're not overcomplicated things. It's easier to accept what you're seeing in that medicated state.
So. I don't know, but those are some great stories, man. And I know you've got more, but we are running out of time. And so I want to take this opportunity to move right into listener stories. You know, listeners, you're out there. You all have stories. You know, Josh shared a few of them. They don't have to be long. They can be short stories. They can be things that no one's ever believed you. But guess what? We will. We're all about it. But we like sharing those stories. And if you're uncomfortable with your name, we can put anonymous or we can make up a name. You know, we just want those stories. So this listener story comes from like a lot of my listeners are on Haunted Kentucky and the real Haunted Kentucky. And on those, I hit up people all the time. And this one comes from a woman named Laura Sims. She says this is her listener story.
My first paranormal experience I had was when I was in elementary school. I had just gotten this new Rolly backpack for school, and I was playing with it on the front porch, rolling it back and forth. I stopped to take a break when all of a sudden the backpack rolled by itself. Even the handle looked like something was holding it. It was askew. I knew it wasn't the wind because there was no wind blowing. And if that wind was blowing, the Rolly backpack would have fell flat down. That was my first paranormal experience. I do believe that the invisible force moving the Rolly backpack was my deceased little brother. It wouldn't be until my high school and college years that I really got into the paranormal, because I had experienced a lot more of the paranormal since then. I've seen shadow figures. I've seen a figure of a deceased cat. I've even been touched by an unseen force. I've had a spirit attachment from a bad spirit that meant me harm, and even today I'm still feeling the effects of it. I've had glass thrown at me by an invisible force. And I have also been to some of the most haunted places in Kentucky and have experienced paranormal activity at those places. And even now, where I live, it seems that this place is also haunted.
Wow.
Just, you know, a lot of people on this Haunted Kentucky board, they always ask, what's your first paranormal experience? And I really like grabbing those, because those are the ones where your eyes open, you know? And just makes you wonder, like, what happened to her little brother? You know, like, and I love that, that it sits at an angle. You could tell it was being pulled.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to know more. If you're listening out there, Laura, I want to know more. I would love to hear more of your stories about the shadow figure and the thing that was attached and things like that. Those are...
The glass would have been...
Yeah, the glass would have been a good story, too. We believe you, and you know, as usual, I highly recommend saging your home if you know, there are local people that are out there that can come in and bless your house and sage your home. Even if you're Catholic or Christian, you know, and you still believe in this stuff, you know, find a priest. If things are malevolent, you don't want those there.
Yeah.
You know, I've had my share of bad experiences, and I'm tired of it. And I do. I haven't really had, besides night hags and stuff, I haven't had a whole lot of bad experiences at my home. But I sage and cleanse that house constantly. Like,
well, I mean, with everything, where there is the light, there also is the dark.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you sharing your stories,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it was fun. Looking forward to a long line of story sharing.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a ton. And we've got so many topics that are going to coming up, you know, over the next year. Next week, if all goes well, I've got a listener that's going to be coming on and joining us for another Getting Spooky episode. But he's super awesome. He hit me up a while back to share with me a story. When he was in the military, when he was in the Middle East, about when he first thought was a demon that he had seen, to only find out later that it was a djinn.
Oh, wow.
And so not only is he going to be sharing that story with us, which is going to be really, really great, but he also has a number of other stories from his time in the military and just throughout his life. So he'll be joining us, like I said, unless... You know, life happens. Yeah. He'll be joining us next week, and he's really great, and I can't wait for you guys to hear his stories. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love you guys so much. Make sure that you're listening to the Destination Nation Network on there. You can listen to other great shows, other great podcasts on there. You can go to destinationcomics.com/DNN. Find all of the podcasts there if you're into comics. Or you're into cartoons, there's Animation Destination. If you're into video game movies, there's Kill Screen Cinema. If you're into horror movies, you can listen to my other podcast called Unhappy Campers, which is a lot of fun. You know, check that out. And then, of course, all the other great shows here on WCHQ 100.9 FM, including Lunch Break Live with my boy Ed Black. And you've got Drive Time Live with Derek Wade Manley. You've got CHQ Country Roots with my girl Naoma. You gotta love her, and she will definitely be back on. Let me tell you, we are actually going to be doing a ghost hunt, and I think Brad's gonna be coming in for this. But we are, and I may have already mentioned this, but we're gonna be doing a ghost hunt at the Bardstown towards the end of October, and so we're gonna be doing an episode or two on that, talking about all of that, maybe even lead up to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, this almost feels like season two starting for me, is what it kind of feels like. So I'm very, very excited. The budget's higher. It's still zero. And we're going. We're still going from there. But please send in your stories to fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. Send those in to us. And once again, thank you, Josh. I can't wait till next week, man.
Yeah, look, it's going to be awesome.
So on that, we will see you guys later. Make sure to stay spooky, of course. And I have been Stefan, and I will catch you on the flip side.
Hey, this is Josh, and the truth is out there.
That's right. And don't forget, as always, people, make sure to hug those blankets extra tight. We'll see you next time.